Every company has reports, right? But what you are referring to is, I believe, generating PowerPoints. You are not going to the leadership team meeting with report. You're going there.
You
with
could, but it's.
I mean, yeah, I'm potentially.
It's not recommended.
It's not recommended.
Hi, everyone. My name is Maciej. I am a leader of Analytics Experience Competency Center at CNF. And welcome to CNF Talks, a place where professionals discuss about their everyday challenges and ideas from the perspective of an IT vendor. And my guest today is Piotr, who is a head of strategic account management at CNF. Welcome, Piotr.
Thank you for having me here.
So today we would like to discuss the perception of value of the projects we are delivering from our clients' standpoint. So we've been discussing in the backstage what kind of projects we are delivering, and we have distinguished two types of projects, right?
Yeah, we can distinguish two types, and I believe that the we will be talking today about the less sexy projects. You know, when you said two types, it's worth to say that, you know, generally, and most of the people tend to focus on the projects that bring additional revenue, increase margin, bringing some innovation, new way of doing things, or introducing some other innovation that increase competitive advantage of those companies, right? And those projects which are kind of less sexy, thinking about projects that are optimizing processes, bringing some automation, helping people to spend less time on boring, repetitive tasks. But those projects are also bringing some value to the company.
These are the silent heroes in the companies, but it's more difficult to distinguish the value of these projects. It's not very tangible from the, you know,
Yes, and it's not directly connected to those focus points of every and each company, right? Revenue, market share,
business
margin.
Goals. The first type is focused on business goals, and it's very easy to identify it. And the second one is savings are always good for the enterprise, but how to distinguish this value for those less sexy projects? What kind of value they can bring? Of course. Besides, you know, savings, which is quite obvious.
Besides cost savings, right?
Yeah.
So it's better experience with the process, so people are less burdened of those tasks. But this is also speed to market, time to market, right? Multiple activities that they are doing. This is trust with the data that they are bringing, right? User experience. Those values are also super important, as they are helping to limit potential lost opportunities.
Exactly. So, and we've been working with Piotr for quite a long time, quite some time now, and we've seen a lot of different projects, and we tend to work on such projects, less sexy projects, and we have prepared few examples of the projects we've delivered in the past, which mm-hmm. at the beginning there were the idea was to overcome some of the limitations mm-hmm. that, for instance, the technology had at the moment, but then these projects quickly transformed into a bigger optimization initiative that identified great value for the organization mm-hmm. For the team that we've been delivering this project to, right? So do you have some of these examples here?
Yes, I think I recall the project that you are talking about, right? So I believe that the reason and behind launching those projects or ideas why they come to life are different, right? As you mentioned, some of the needs comes from limitation of the technology that particular company was using at that time. From other examples, we can see that there is a need of free up people's time to focus on more important topics or to move forward mm-hmm. with some other activities, innovation, or just optimize the team's time.
Yeah, usually those people are highly paid, highly trained experts that are focused on strategic tasks, and sometimes they are stuck with repetitive, you know, vital but not too demanding tasks like I don't know, building reports or something like that, right? So this is one of the challenges we've also seen. I remember the first example that you've mentioned. This was years ago, and the funny thing is that the project has transformed into a very broad, I would say, optimization idea or a program. But it started from the very simple limitation that our client needed to export a number of screens from a BI report. The problem was that there was a limit. I don't remember how many pages they could export mm-hmm. in one time, but they came to us and said, okay, listen, we need to build reports with, you know, tens of pages, and we can export only 20, whatever, seven one time, right? So we need to build something that will enable us to build, you know, heavy reports. And this was the start of a cooperation. And we've built a POC of a solution, which enabled those guys to build web reports, PowerPoint reports, analytical reports using, you know, different visuals, and then export, you know, as many pages as they want. And this was the first element of a few year story of cooperation on this very broad project. And they quickly found out that there is a lot of more value in optimizing the whole process, which was very burdening and manual, because those guys had to copy and paste different visuals from different reports. They had to use, I don't know, Excel spreadsheets and so on and so forth. And they, you know, tend to stitch together all of these visuals into PowerPoint slides. And then, you know, this was a very repetitive, very manual process, and they had to do it each month to build and deliver a, you know, a very complex report. And despite the fact that this was a technological limitation, they quickly found out that the real challenge was in building those reports in a manual fashion, mm-hmm. month over month, right?
Yeah, I remember this project very well, right? This is the example when the reason comes from the technical limitation. So I remember another project where we were asked to conduct the workshop, and the main aim of the workshop was to find the way how to automate the work, just to free up time of the people, so they can focus on more strategic initiatives, right? And so it was technology was not a limitation, right? We were just simply asked to ideate, prepare the ideas and the process, automation of the process, solutions that can speed up the work or eliminate those manual tasks that they're doing, so they can focus on something more tangible.
Okay, so we have two examples, different examples of the challenge. The first challenge that the client has identified. The second example you've mentioned, I remember also that there was a topic regarding this data trust, right? So building manual reports, pulling out data from different dashboards or flat files or, you know, Excel spreadsheets increases the risk of error.
Yes.
And this is one of the main challenges for centralized teams that are responsible for delivering very precise reports, which are vital for the, I don't know, C-levels or, you know, strategic teams that are then, you know, making decisions or strategic decisions based on the data they are being served with those reports. I remember also one of the examples that we've been discussing earlier with the manufacturing process.
Well, this is quite an interesting example, because when you are talking about the manufacturing, for instance, vaccines, right, or manufacturing big volume of products. Mm-hmm. So here we are talking about the optimization of the manufacturing process, right? So the better you can optimize, the more margin you are getting, right? So this kind of directly connected to the this business goals, yeah. Right? So this is one of the examples when the cost optimization is highly connected with the business goals of the companies, of the enterprises, right? And this is indeed the process where automation and trust in the data is essential. So the people that are taking the decision know the data exactly, that the data is correct, right? And they have faster data, quicker data, more reliable.
And they can react very, very quickly, because the manufacturing process is a very demanding process. You can lose a lot of money with vaccines. The manufacturing process is very specific because there is this destruction level monitoring in place. Yes. So if you have this month-to-month reporting, you can't really react promptly to, you know, tweaking the process in order to decrease this destruction level. So the optimization part here was to deliver quick reports, quick precise data on, I don't know, hourly basis, daily basis, like weekly basis even, to be more reactive and to tweak these processes very quickly to limit this destruction level, thus increase the reduce the manufacturing cost and increase the margin of the
effectiveness of the production.
Exactly.
Margin in the end for this particular site, manufacturing site.
So, and this is very interesting. We have like three or four different areas, three or four different challenges identified or starting points.
I would also point out one more.
Mm-hmm.
Customer experience, right? When the process is automated and you are able to respond to customer needs to faster, with better quality, with proper materials, mm-hmm. right? The perception of the company is better, right? You are more eager to interact with the application, mobile application that is easy to digest.
Yes.
Nice to your eyes, right? And looks appealing than crappy, hard to use application that is not working every time, right?
Well, I would say if you try to identify, and it's hard to identify such challenges because people working for a company are very deep into the context of their work. So they are doing the same thing every time. They are used to certain process. Even it's a very manual, very burdening process. They know that, okay, today we need to adjust price lists for the next year. For instance, I need to engage with Division A, Division B, Division C, send some emails, send some Excel spreadsheets. Everybody will cooperate on these Excel spreadsheets. I need to pull out some data from SAP or whatever. It's also hard to do it because I need to have some access. It takes time, whatever. Then all of the people are contributing to one file. I don't know who, you know, updated the file and when, what are the changes and when the file is correct and finalized. So it takes time, but still we are doing that for years now.
It's working.
At the end of the day, we do have this price list accepted and it's fine, and we are waiting for the next, I don't know, quarter or whatever, right, to adjust it again and again. And now if you stop for a moment and try to have this helicopter view on the process and you sit and analyze it, it's very difficult, complex, prone to errors, time consuming, and you need to engage a lot of guys, a lot of people that are focused on their strategic tasks, right? And they need to be pulled away from these tasks to edit some Excel spreadsheets, right? So whenever you try to find an activity or process which is very manual, which is prone to errors, where you exchange different files, it's not centralized in any manner, you need to pull data from different sources, and you need to do it again and again, I don't know, on a weekly basis, monthly, quarterly, mm-hmm. whatever you name it, this is the place where you should look for optimization. This is the place where you most probably might utilize a certain solution which enables exactly that. I remember one more example. You have mentioned the price management or contract management case.
Yes, I mean the whole contract management. We talk about this a little bit. Price list negotiation or contract negotiation, right? So, this is one thing when you are gathering the data to prepare this, but at the end, you need to deliver something to your customer, to your client, right? So, even before that, right? You need to get those price lists approved, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to prepare all the justification supported by the data, and the data needs to be correct and so on. And you are doing this on certain cadence, right? And this is not just one person is doing that, right? We have multiple clients, and this action is repeated numbers of time in particular company, right? So by having some tool that is automating the process, and at the end it's generating the, for instance, deck that is ready to present in front of the people that are accepting or approving the contracts, the price list, or any other part of that that process, also helping you to bring this, to move this with this process faster, with better experience, right? Mm-hmm. You are sure that the data that you are presenting us is correct and accurate, right? Because it's not, you are not pulling this data manually and creating the presentation. It's being done automatically, right? You are just inserting your comments, mm-hmm. right?
So again, we have number of areas, different challenges, different starting points, and we have one common solution. And it's not like we thought about the solution, overnight. It's like we've been working for different clients, observing their challenges and finding the certain patterns and common points. And this common point was that, well, every enterprise, every big enterprise, every division in this enterprise produces tons of reports, mainly PowerPoint reports. It's not like you are presenting.
Reports, yes. Every company has reports, right? But what you are referring to is, I believe, generating PowerPoints. You are not going to the to the leadership team meeting with report. You're going there.
You
with
could, report. But it's.
I mean, yeah, potentially.
It's not recommended.
It's not recommended. But you're going there with deck prepared, right?
Yeah.
And you need to prepare this deck. You need to at every month. You need to pull the data, insert this data to the PowerPoint.
It's not inserting only data. You need to copy and paste,
charts,
do some print screens,
right?
things like that.
You have two options. Either you can extract the data, extract the dashboard, mm-hmm. and to the deck.
Yeah, but still you need to somehow,
But you need to
copy and paste those screens, right?
Yes.
Adjust the data. Copy only those visuals. You won't be pasting only the whole screen, whole dashboards, right?
Yes. And then you need to also put some comments, right? Prepare the analysis, insights,
and descriptions for the stakeholders, right?
And then you are ready to go, right? So
very easy. You are ready to go.
Yeah, and when you are looking at this from the, as you said, helicopter view, right? It's just simple, regular task.
Mundane work, time-consuming, error-prone.
Yes, but still, this is just basic work, right? You just need to prepare the material for the meeting, right? Extract the data, present it in a nice way. It would be good to have consistency in the presentation from 1 month to another, right? And
you need nothing, to always have the fresh data.
Nothing fancy. Nothing. There is
nothing sexy.
Yes, nothing sexy.
If you multiply this activity by 200 or 500 people that do that on their monthly basis, weekly basis, then, and if you think of it from the cost saving perspective, then it does make a change.
Yes, and this is a very important point that you mentioned from the enterprise perspective, from the high level perspective, you can talk about hundreds of people, that are doing this, right? Every region, every department, and so on, right? But very infrequent, there is such a helicopter view, because those tasks are done on the team level,
yeah,
department
local
level,
yeah,
local level, right? So the people that are working in those departments do not see that the amount of the work that company is putting in order to prepare those presentations for the meetings.
Moreover, they have the teams have their budgets, and if they save some time, it doesn't impact their budgeting
slightly.
How they can identify the impact then? Okay, they will do more work. Is it directly connectable with the, you know, time saving? It's very difficult to justify the cost.
Yeah, those projects are less sexy, right? So
exactly.
On and the cost savings, the optimization on the team level, department level is not significant. But when you are implementing this for the whole business unit across the regions, and you are saving the time for hundreds of people across the globe, then the figures are relatively higher.
Yeah. So again, a lot of use cases and one solution. So we've learned from all of these experiences working for different clients, observing what are those challenges. The challenges or the solution was exactly the same. They had to have a automated solution which will enable them to build these analytical decks with ease, with consistency, and with better cooperation within the team.
And with how many slides you would like to have?
Yeah, as many as you can have, as many data or one data source, which will be the one source of truth without jumping from one dashboard to another Excel spreadsheet file, whatever, on a timely basis. So this was something that we've observed and wanted to address. That's why we've built something called the PowerPoint Automation Platform, which is also maybe not too sexy, but it does exactly that. It automates the process of building analytical PowerPoint decks.
The tool is pretty simple, right? You log in to the tool. Of course, before you log in, there is whole process of implementation, right? The implementation is just to connect the data source that you are pulling the data from, right? One or multiple, right? It depends on the need, right? Once you log into the system, select the data source that you would like to have the data from on your slides, and then you have the kind of wizard. You are dragging, you are doing drag and drop, selecting the type of the slides, how many charts you would like to have on the one slide, or what kind of other information you would like to see on those slides, right? You are selecting the filters for each of the section on particular slide, right?
And a global filtering and local.
All local, right? It depends on your preferences. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's it. You have the deck ready, right? With the recent data, right? That you have, right? And if you would like to have the PowerPoint out of this tool, you are just clicking extract, right? And you're exporting the PowerPoint file that is editable with data charts. Exactly how you designed in the tool, right?
So this is native to PowerPoint. So the outcome of your work is just a PowerPoint deck that it's fully editable with native PowerPoint visuals and everything in place. What is interesting there is that you have this consistency, you have this automation, you can build as many slides as you like very quickly. You can pull the data from a data source, so you know that you can trust the data. So this is one of the important elements that we've addressed with this solution. Again, you have a lot of templates and a lot of layouts of these slides. So you have just placeholders, you know, you just choose the slide. You are dragging and dropping this visual of your choice to the placeholder, then filter out the data. And there you go. You just go to another slide and do it over and over again. So this is the value that we've seen: automation, speed of completion, trust to the data, less rework.
I would say that the value of this solution, so once you create this slide deck, the next time you need it, you're just exporting it. You're just entering to the tool, exporting the slide deck that you have prepared some time ago, and you have it with the most recent data. And yet you may still edit the slides, add some comments, or update any items that you would like to write, or include some more slides from other elements, right? If you need to. But if not, you're ready to go, right? You have the deck ready to present. And what is also important, the solution is in the client's
premises,
right? In cloud, right? So it's secured.
This is something that I wanted to mention, that there are quite a few tools, AI-driven tools now. Yes. On the market, SaaS tools that enable you to automate building these PowerPoints, right? The problem is the compliance, is the security, because most of the times the data that is being pulled to these slides is confidential, right? So
yes.
None of the IT divisions of our clients would accept such a solution, that they will just pull the data from their secure environment to a SaaS, whatever tool app. That's why it's very, for them, it's crucial to have a solution that it's deployed on their premises, on their private cloud. It's very secure. The data still is within their environment.
Yeah, especially that if we are talking about the highly restricted data, right? So you need to keep it safe. And another example can be also localization of the data. You need to make sure that the solution that you are selecting from the market, that is, you know, a kind of SaaS solution, is keeping the data in a particular region, right? Cloud perspective, right? So this is another factor.
And also, you know, the core of the solution is the same, essentially the same. Everybody is building PowerPoint decks, but some of the clients are extending the functionality of the solution, and it's very interesting. That some, for instance, one of the clients wanted to also automate it even more. Instead of doing, you know, manual annotations, manual descriptions of the situation, you know, seen on the deck, they wanted to automate this. So we've implemented a natural language generation module, which enabled, essentially automated the description of the charts seen on the slide. So you could only have the placeholder for the text, and this module has, you know, described what you could see on the chart, with values, with trends, with the situation. So again, this was another step, and essentially it has been identified also during the whole, you know, implementation and development process over the months or years, that again, this is another value of this solution, of even further optimization of the process when you just, you know, automate the description thing, right? So you could see that from, this is very interesting. So the starting point was technological limitation. Most of the cases when you start a project, it might be the technological limitation. But then we've identified, together with the client, we've identified the value of this optimization process. It's easier for them to build these tools. It can be even easier to do it in the future when we will, plug in some different modules, also maybe, you know, AI driven, like the chatbots or whatever, right?
Yeah, the additional feature that can be connected to this tool is, as you said, data chatbot, right? Mm-hmm. So let's imagine that you have the filters, charts that are already prepared with global or local filters. Local, when I say local, it means local for this particular slide.
Or even chart,
right. But we can also imagine that you can ask a data chatbot to prepare certain
chart, or calculation,
just information that you would like to see, right? And this can be also embedded, right? So the chatbot in that particular case would translate your question into SQL query and then bring the data from the database in and present it in expected way, right?
And it's super cool because this way you can introduce this tool to you know, business guys or whoever without any SQL knowledge, and they can just translate their, you know, human understandable language into a SQL query, or even extend their data source connected to the solution. Because, for instance, they might have some values, they might have some tables, and you know, but they don't have certain calculations. They want to, they would like to see some new things from, you know, exploring the data they already have in the tool. And this data chatbot might do the trick, right?
Yes, this data chatbot may do the trick. This is not the essential thing in this whole process of generating PowerPoint from the data source, right? But yes, this is additional feature that can enrich the way how you interact with the PowerPoint generator.
Okay, so basically we have the core. Everybody uses that because this is the key element to address. But each area, each branch of the each of our clients have their different agenda, their different challenges, and they extend this tool with different plugins that will even, you know, bring additional value to their process. So to wrap it up, less sexy projects, in fact, are very sexy if you can translate it into value.
Yes, exactly.
So again, what is the value of less sexy projects in that case?
I would say that cost optimization, right? Cost optimization, either it is in manual work or just time to market, right? Mm-hmm. So this is main point, right? And another thing, it could be offloading people that can focus on the opportunities. So you can limit potentially lost opportunities, right? Those are, I would say, those are two major points, major values, right? The another ones is user experience, data experience, customer experience, mm-hmm. right? This is also those, if you have consistency in way of the presenting in front of the other users, clients, and it's always better. And it improves your perception, reliable partner, right? Trust with the data, right? So you are not pulling the data in the, and this process can be, you know, as you said, prone to error.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, you are secure from that.
All right. Sounds easy to translate from the business perspective, but it still is a process of changing the perception. Okay, we can stop here. Actually, mm-hmm. We are preparing a explainer video for the PowerPoint automation platform. Hopefully, it will be ready soon. So we'll put the link to this video in the description of this episode.
And I believe you mentioned that before we start the meeting that you will have separate session on the data chatbot.
About the data chatbot, about different applications of AI, rather, mm-hmm. you know, small innovations that will also automate mm-hmm. certain enterprise processes. Yes. So this is also a different kind of automation, also changing the perspective of implementation of AI in big companies. Yes. So yeah, hopefully you will hear about that in the next episode. So yeah, Piotr, thank you very much for having the discussion here, and thank you
for inviting me.
And see you soon in the next episode of CNF Talks.